Hello and welcome back to Back in My Play. This is one of those guide-in episodes where we do not necessarily talk about a single game. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is Quan Nguyen of ArcadeWorks.net. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. And this is something that is kind of been put together real quick because I just got a real itch to get back into the Neo Geo game because I, due to space, had to get rid of my four slot. And the cool thing about what Quan does is he actually makes consoleized MVS machines, specifically the Omega, and I ended up picking up one of those. So I thought it'd be great to get him on to first talk about some more Neo Geo stuff and also to talk about how we got into, you know, making these consoles and to talk a little bit about that. So first thing I want to ask you about is your history with the Neo Geo, because going to the extent that you have to create a awesome looking consoleized MVS, you must be a pretty hardcore Neo Geo fan. So I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about your history with the Neo Geo.
Well, to be honest, I'm not exactly, you know, throughout my life, I wasn't a hardcore Neo Geo fan. The first time I ever saw Neo Geo at all was an AES, like at my friend's house. You know, he was the rich kid down the street. He was the son of like the local news weatherman. So he had everything.
Wow.
And then, so like, you know, this was like mid-90s, like 1994, around that time. So he took out his AES and showed me Super Sidekicks. And it was like, I was like blown away. You know, that was the time when I was just playing Nintendo. And for some reason, he wouldn't let me play it. And that was like the end of the story for Neo Geo for quite some time. And, you know, eventually I saw it in the arcades. You know, I played Ninja Combat and Puzzle Bobble and, you know, a few others. But I didn't really see all those really, you know, sought-after titles later in life, like Metal Slug and Aero Fighters. I didn't really see that at the arcades I went to because I didn't go too many as a kid. My parents didn't really like the idea of going to the arcade. And, you know, when they did, it was always Chuck E. Cheese. And we never had Neo Geo. You know, they had Simpsons and they had like Road Blasters and, you know, Pole Position, but I've never seen a Neo Geo at a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, I don't remember ever seeing one either myself, to be honest.
Yeah, so, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of exposure to Neo Geo. I mean, I knew what it was. I did read a lot of EGM as a kid and hardcore game fan. So, you know, I would read those articles and I saw like the article for Double Dragon. It was like, oh my God, that game is awesome looking, you know. This fighting game that looks like Street Fighter, you know, looks graphically impressive, and it just like blew my mind. Like, this was, you know, home console type game.
Well, that was the thing with the Neo Geo back then, and you talked about the rich kid who had one because they were selling for $599 against a $200 Super Nintendo. And I think the games at the time like ran close to $300 for the AES games. So it was literally impossible for anyone to own it unless you were incredibly wealthy, right?
Yeah, at that time, you know, $600, $700 was a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money now, but at that time, minimum wage was only like $3. So that's like 200 times minimum wage. That's a lot of hours you got to work just to buy the system, not to mention the game. So you had to be incredibly wealthy to own anything Neo Geo related. So, you know, you had to have the hookups for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned obviously going to the arcades a little bit, going to the friend's house, but when was the time period when you were able to like really get deep into this stuff? Because, you know, again, one of those great communities, NeoGeo.com, you know, there's a great community over there of people that are super passionate about the Neo Geo, where you can, you know, learn about this stuff and, you know, learn about kind of those hidden gems, even though it's not a super big software library. It's not like an NES where there's 900 games, but you can find some really cool stuff. Now, I'm kind of curious, a lot of people end up just getting into this because of, you know, a website like NeoGeo.com or a friend that's in arcade machines. How did you get deep into this stuff?
Well, it wasn't really until I actually started playing them. You know, like in college, Neo Rajax was like the thing. It was like the only thing that played Neo Geo games particularly well. So I played what was available at the time with my friend, mostly just Puzzle Bobble All Night and Metal Slug, and just other games that had Saturn ports that I knew of. But it wasn't really until well after the heyday of the original Neo Geo company and then part of Playmore, which I got involved into the actual hardware side of investing in Neo Geo. Like before, it was just all emulation ports and whatnot. But I didn't actually pick up my first AES. So maybe 2005, when I actually had enough money to buy one. I found one on Craigslist, a complete gold system.
Mm-hmm.
So I emailed the guy, hold it for me and I'll drive right down. And I was so excited to get one because it was such a good deal. I didn't bother to fill up gas. So after I picked it up, I was running on fumes. I was hoping to find the nearest gas station before I had to push the car to one. And luckily I just ran out right there at the gas station. But I've never seen since my childhood, I've never seen an AES in person. And I was amazed how large the system was.
Well, that's the thing is, it's not only the system, but the games themselves are about, if you laid it flat on the ground, they're about the size of if you put two VHS tapes next to each other, laying down. They're quite big. Fitting all those ROM chips is not easy with dual boards on those games in the AES and in the MVS, which we talked about in a previous episode, but we should mention, the AES was the home version of the Neo Geo, with the MVS, the multi-video system, being the arcade version of the Neo Geo software. Same games, but in very similar hardware, but just two different kind of markets, and they were differentiated mostly, I guess, from what I've read and from what I've heard, just to make sure that people weren't using the cheaper arcade games, or I guess vice versa, the games for the home were, I don't know, one of them were cheaper. I don't know if you know.
Well, at the time, when the MVS was still actively using the arcades, it wasn't unusual for games to cost $500 to $1,000 each. Mm-hmm. And with the home games, retailing about $200, it was pretty compelling case to find a way to make AES games run on a cabinet for an arcade operator.
Mm-hmm.
When you can save yourself at least 50% off cost, earning back $500 one quarter at a time, still a long time, even if people are pumping these in all night long.
Yeah. And you brought up another good point of Craigslist. I think that's the thing. It's when you're talking about even the AES systems now on Craigslist or on eBay, they still are quite expensive. Even if you go the Japanese consoles are a little bit more common. And even when I've been out in Japan, seeing the AESs for a good $150 to $200 just with the console and a controller is not uncommon. Like, it is not something that is dropped down to where you can get a Super Famicom for $35, $40 in good condition. It is still an expensive console, and it's not the console really, but it's the AES games that are really what's going to cost you a lot of money. And those prices haven't really gone down too much, have they?
For some of the less sought after titles, the more common fighters, your World Heroes, your Art of Fightings, your Fatal Furies, some of the early ones in those series, they're still rather cheap. You can get a complete, one for less than $50, for the more sought after titles like your Slugs and your Shock Troopers and, something that you would continually have fun for years to come, it'll fetch a pretty penny, upwards of $500 is not unusual for those kind of games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just is, you think getting into, retro gaming can be expensive. The Neo Geo is just really, at least in terms of the AES, is a whole nother level in terms of barrier to entry. And it seems like games are still pretty rare. Like you said, $500. Some games go for over, Metal Slug goes for $1,000. It's just crazy.
It used to be $1,000 would be a really good deal, today, if you could find a Metal Slug for $1,000, a real US Metal Slug. For $1,000, I would run to the bank and go get the money right now.
Okay.
It fetches a lot more than that because of just recently the prices of AES just skyrocketed because of more increased awareness of the Neo Geo platform in general, you know, like because of consoleized the MVSs and because of the Neo Geo X, more people just know about Neo Geo in general. So the more people know, and then you get a lot of collectors that are almost, you know, finishing their Nintendo collections and their Genesis, and you know, they want to look for the next thing to collect. And eventually they'll get to the point where there's nothing else but Neo Geo. So when you get more people into the community, there's less supply, and then demand and price just goes up.
Well, that's, I mean, that's something that I've definitely noticed over the last couple of years, you know, picking up a couple MVSs over the years as I've rotated the games that I had in my arcade. But let's talk about the consoleized MVS, because in many ways that's a real solution, or it's a really good alternative for people that do want to get into building a Neo Geo library, because like we mentioned before, many of the games are more common, they are cheaper, and you're getting the same exact game. And with a consoleized MVS, you also have the ability to run, you know, custom BIOS and run it in different regions and things like that incredibly easily. So that's what I want to ask you about, is what was the day where you just said, you know what, I really want to make a sweet looking consoleized MVS. When did that happen, and what was that process like?
Well, originally, when I first got into Neo Geo, I had no intention of ever doing a consoleized MVS. Like, it started with a two-slot cab that I found off Craigslist. You know, at that time, I still didn't have I didn't want to spend a whole lot of money. And as a crapshoot, I offered this guy a U2 edition iPod that I had. You know, it was just sitting there. It was worth a little money, and he seemed desperate enough to get rid of the cab that he said, and he took it as an even trade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it wasn't an original cab, it was a conversion, but it had a two slot and two games, and it's like, okay, that's not bad for, you know, an iPod that I'm never going to use.
Yeah.
So I borrowed a friend's SUV, and then I drove down to his place, and we loaded up in the truck, you know, in the back of the trunk. And then as soon as I get home to unload it, you know, I pull it out. The last part is like the top part where the monitor is kind of heavy, and it drops to the floor.
Oh, no.
The monitor, like, it's busted. Oh. Like, I heard like glass shattering. So that was like the start. It was like, okay, I got this shell of a cab, but the board probably still works, because when I was at his house, he showed me the cab working. It had some monitor issues, but the games worked, and I thought, okay, I could fix the monitor. You know, I'm a tech guy, I could probably handle that if I can get it home safely. But you know, since the monitor died, I took out the two slot and just looked at it for a while, and I was doing a lot of research on Neo Geo, and you know, a lot of people just seem to be consoleizing two slots. It's a very popular board, because it's got the control ports right in the front, and it's got the memory card built into it. So it's, at the time, the two slot was the prime candidate for consolization. You know, that was, you would see that all day long, you know, people selling that for at least $500.
It's
pretty easy.
You're making it sound like an organ donor, like a prime candidate for a brand new heart or a brand new liver. Got to get that two slot, perfect candidate.
Yeah, I mean, like, part of consolization is just finding the right board to make it look nice.
Yeah.
I mean, there aren't very many top loading MVS boards. Like, the majority of them are side loading one slots.
Mm-hmm.
And only the multi slot boards are top loading, and there's only one top loading one slot. So you had to pick and choose if you wanted to make a product that was presentable to people that would pay a premium price for, because people were paying a lot for these CMVSs.
So do you have like a background in, you know, electrical design or anything like that, that just, you know, you were able to kind of look at the plans for the two-slot consoleized MVS and say, all right, you know, this is no problem. I just got to basically make a video out, and, you know, I got to figure out a power supply for the thing that is not going to be gigantic, and I'll be all set. What was it like?
Well, I originally graduated college with a degree in computer science, so I had no idea about electrical engineering from a high-level aspect. But I did a lot of console mods back in that time, you know, like modding, top-loading Nintendos for Composite AV.
Yeah.
doing S video mods for Genesis and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I knew how to read schematics and stuff like that. So when there were guides that posted about how to consoleize things, it wasn't like a rough thing to tread through.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, kind of how I got started in that aspect.
So you made the two slot. You're able to consoleize that. No problems with the work into that. Did you run into any issues at all?
But electrically, I didn't run into any issues. It was more of the aesthetic parts that make it appealing to people. It's like the the painting and then the powder coating to the cages. You know, the two slot board I had was completely rusted over the cage.
That sounds about right.
So I had to you know, sand it down and use rust remover, and I never used a whole lot of those at all. So, you know, it took a few tries just to get it to look right, and then I had to find a place to powder coat it. Not too expensive, you know, to do a one-off, because most of these guys are motorcycle powder coaters, and you know, their minimum orders, you know, a couple $1,000s. So it took a little while to get all the things in order to get it to look like what other people would sell on the forums and eBay.
And it's worth taking a step back, because you mentioned, first off, the arcade machine is, you know, it's a good entry level route if you you have a buddy that can help you move it, and B, you have some kind of willingness to go into the back of the machine, because you have so many things that you can run into. Like, I picked up a Neo Geo 4 slot, like one of the tall boys, that needed to have a cap kit installed on the monitor chassis, and that was something that was beyond what I was willing to really do it, and having to go and get a whole new monitor, replacement monitor chassis. It's a big investment. It is something that you could run into problems installing or removing the old one. And again, these monitors, this is all that's left. They're not being made anymore. You can actually buy really expensive arcade monitors for like $400 or $500. But to be honest, you're going to be really investing so much money into this thing in the end, it's not going to be worth it. And that's where I really see, that great niche for the consoleized MVS, because there are people that still want to play this stuff, and you don't necessarily have to go and, you know, get a big arcade machine that has probably seen some rough years being in an arcade and then being in someone's house. But that's the next thing I want to ask you about is, you were successful with the two slot. What was, you know, the process that got you to the point where, hey, you know, this is something that, you know, I can do this. I can make like a really nice looking one slot and, you know, sell it. I can, you know, sell it to other people that want access to this stuff. What was that process like?
Well, like, when I was seeing how much like these consoleized boards actually sell for, you know, like $500-$600 easy, and I realized how little work was actually put into them, I figure, like, if I can go a little above and beyond, I could probably sell it for the same price and people would just buy it, you know, without hesitation. You know, like, this is far beyond what most people have ever come to expect out of a consoleized MVS. I mean, at that time, a consoleized MVS was a powder-coated cage with the board mounted on a piece of plexiglass with some holes drilled into the back for the jacks. And that was it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, to be honest, like,
you buy a $100 board, and that's a $400 markup for not $400 worth of work.
Exactly. Like, if you go on eBay and you take a look and you just kind of type in consoleized MVS, they're not even $500. They're like $700. And like you said, that's kind of all it is. It's like a one-slot board with a couple, like a coax and some component outputs soldered into the side of it. And it really just kind of like looks like you're just putting a motherboard on your shelf. Like, if you have a bunch of old consoles, you don't want just like basically what looks like a, you know, a motherboard with a slot on top of it. Like that, like you said, that side loading slot, if you're laying it down, not super appealing. But you kind of went, like you said, a different route, and you just made something that looked super sleek and, you know, made a nice, clean case for it, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not unusual for Neo Geo fans to pay a lot for their products, but, you know, in return, they should get, you know, something in equal quality. You know, like when you buy an AES card, you get a really nice snap locking case in the later releases, you know, an insert and a manual with and a nice looking cart. You know, with the consoleized MVS, you're not getting that aesthetic quality you've come to expect with AES. So I wanted to kind of bridge that gap as best I could. So, you know, I had some money saved up from when I worked as a software engineer, and I just piled that into the Omega project. And, you know, that's how it got started. You know, I just wanted to give people a little more, give MVS owners something a little more, to be a little more proud about, you know, when they're playing the MVS instead of their, you know, it's just playing some bare board on your desk isn't the most glamorous thing to do.
No, and it's, and again, I don't think I mentioned this yet, but I actually got one. I purchased one before reaching out to you to talk to you on the show. But this is one of those things where on my trips to Japan, I always, the last two times I've come back with MVS carts because you can get them for like $10 or $20, $30 at the arcade shops. And man, I just kept looking them on my shelf, and they just sat there because I had to get rid of my floor slot. Again, I ran into issues, and I just was like, no, I'm not sinking any more money into this arcade machine. I'm just done with it. And I got my console yesterday, and initially you open it up and it's just, again, it is the sleekest design. It's the AES design that you used for the console, which unbelievably, 20 years later, over 20 years later, it still looks awesome. Like, it's just such a great design.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of thought put into the original AES design. It's, you know, it's got a lot of nice curves. It's got those, you know, it's got vents you would come to expect on like high-end cars. You know, so it's got a lot of this and that that, you know, it makes it aesthetically pleasing. So, mm-hmm. You know, when I designed the Omega, I wanted to kind of mirror that quality, you know, at the same time, but have its own flair for being MVS.
Yeah, and it definitely a couple things that I noticed just trying out some carts is that one issue I always ran into with my four slot machines is that the carts just sometimes will never sit correctly in the four slots, and even in the one slot that I had sometimes. Just like either the contacts were just so dirty on the inside of the arcade machine because these machines are just so old and they're rusted. I noticed immediately popped in the game, booted right up, no problem. Sits in there nice and securely. I even did a wiggle test. I wiggled the cart around to see if it would mess up. No problem. So like even if you are in a deep battle of Samurai Showdown 4 and you kind of pull the controller port a little bit, no problem. So props you on that. And also, I think one of the coolest things that you've done with it for crazy people like me that own Frame Meisters that are upscaling, basically devices that upscale for old video games and add scan lines and things like that, you installed the option to output through component for people with HDTVs and also for SCART cables. So is that like a mod that just seems to be, is that hard to implement, one, and then B, it seems to be that it's a huge selling point for the console, right? Because now no one has tube TVs and they just want to make sure this stuff looks good on whatever TV they're putting it on, right?
Well, I wanted to make sure that at least all the analog signals were covered because I expected, you know, people from all... And from all different parts with different kinds of setups to use this. So I had to get all covered, you know, all bases covered from, you know, composite to RGB/component. So everything in that spectrum was, you know, put in there as allocated because, you know, the amount of pins I have, you know, I had to install a little switch to switch between the RGB and the component, but I managed to cram all that in there without sacrificing too much.
Now let's talk a little bit. We'll get back to the Omega in a little bit. But you know, again, I think this is a really good time to just talk about some Neo Geo stuff. So, you know, being our guest on the show, I want to ask you. Everyone seems to have their, you know, top three or five games, and it seems to be different for everyone that I talk to. You know, every Neo Geo, like, hardcore fan, like, some will say crazy things like, yeah, man, World Heroes 2 Jet, like, that's my game. I gotta make sure I have that in the four slot. Or, you know, now the big game that's blowing up is Windjammers with the guys at Giant Bomb doing tons of live streams on it. And it could be other weird games, like you have Samurai Shodown 4, which I've been playing a lot of today, which is just kind of a crazy game.
No, so, that's not weird. If you played Captain Tomodachi, that's a weird game.
See, well, okay. And this is another thing that's great about the library is that it's full of awesome Japanese, like, super crazy games that are A, over the top, and B, just, like I said, they're just crazy and just only, you seem like you could only find them in the Neo Geo library. But what are some of your favorite games that, you know, if you had a had maybe like a six slot, what were the games that would always be in that?
Probably in every combination, I would have a puzzle bobble of some sort. You know, I'm a big fan of that game in general. So the first or the second one I would always have. And then Windjammers, I've been playing that since I first since I started collecting Neo Geo. I found a copy like in the wild, and I was so excited when I found it.
So you didn't spend, now it's going for, because I just bought a copy from the Netherlands, because I got I spent $125 on my copy, and that's actually a good price for it these days. That's how crazy it is, at least on eBay.
Yeah, I mean, that price, that card has been gaining steadily in price because there's a lot of people coming to realize, you know, what a fun party game that that game is, you know. It's real simple. It's basically Pong on steroids.
Yep.
And, you know, it's not hard to get good at it. You know, you can have a couple friends over and a case of beers. It's good time all night.
So what else besides Windjammers and Puzzle Bobble?
I do like Neo Turf Masters quite a bit. Yeah. You know, I'm not a fan of golf games at all, but, you know, I played that on a recommendation from a friend, and I come to love it. You know, it's a very calming game. It's beautifully executed, and you know, it's made by the same people that made Metal Slug. You know,
yeah, Nazca, right?
Yeah. Like when you turn on the game, you hear that little dinging sound. That's like the suicide sound from the tank.
That's right. So what else? We got big tournament golf / Neo Turf Masters. We got Puzzle Bobble. We got Windjammers. What else? Got some fighters in there.
I do like Ninja Masters quite a bit. I mean, there's not a whole lot of love for that game, but that game plays a lot like Street Fighter. So, you know, I feel more comfortable with that game than the King of Fighters series. You know, I'm not particularly good at the King of Fighters. I didn't grow up with that as much as Street Fighter 2. So when I played Ninja Masters, I felt more in comfort zone when I was playing that. Same with Breakers. That's a very competent non-SNK fighter for those looking to expand their library beyond King of Fighters and Fatal Fury games.
Yeah, and you brought up a really good point. For people who didn't grow up with King of Fighters, like I didn't. I have King of Fighters 98 because people tell me it's the best one, and I think it's fun to play, but the lineup is so big. Like, there's so many characters to choose from. I just don't know where to start in terms of how to get good at that game. So I always end up running into problems in terms of going up against friends, because I don't know what to do. It's just, you get three people for your lineup in the game, and it's just a crazy, like, you think Marvel versus Capcom is nuts. Like, this is, you know, just as crazy.
Yeah, I mean, when they created King of Fighters, they folded several series together. So, I mean, if you want to kind of know the ins and outs of, like, the lineups, you should just play the games that came before. So, like, Art of Fighting and, you know, the original Fatal Furies. Yeah, that's like where they took all the characters from.
Yeah, like a little prerequisite, you know, for college. You got to, you know, take the 101s before you can go 201. So that's actually a pretty good call. I should probably do that and see if I can learn those guys on a much smaller scale than before going to King of Fighters. All right, so we got King of Fighters 98, we got Puzzle Bobble, we got Neo Turf, we got Windjammers. What else would be in that list?
I really like Blazing Star, you know, like the intro to that game, like the music and just the art, it's so good.
Great sometimes variety.
I just put that game in there just to listen to it, you know. It doesn't get old. It's a lot of fun. It's not a rote memorization game like Polestar is. You know, it's just a fun, you know, destroy all the ships. You know, not entirely difficult, but if you want to kind of master the scoring mechanic, it's a little tough. So it'll give you challenges when you want it.
And I should step back. I did mention King of Fighters 98 as being part of your list, but we obviously did not mean to say that. But you brought up, you know, shooters. I have to ask you, because in one of the machines that I picked up, I couldn't see the games and the pictures that they sent. There were blurry pictures. All I just knew was a four slot with four games in it. Monitor didn't work, and I went and picked it up. And in there Viewpoint. Sorry. Viewpoint was in there. What are your thoughts on Viewpoint? Because that game has a crazy good soundtrack, and it's just like a weird, like 3/4 perspective view side scrolling shooter kind of.
Yeah, that isometric view makes the game really tough, you know, when you're trying to move left and right, you know, you go diagonally. But that game is it's one of the finer points of the shmup parts of the Neo Geo. Like it's really really shows off its stuff in terms of giving you a challenge.
Well, again, that's what's crazy. You're bringing up another point that we should hit on is just the library itself hitting on so many genres, and every single time it does, there are just so many great games. Like you talk about, you don't even need to say fighting games. The fighting game genre for the Neo Geo is just, it's top tier. Like there's probably no other console in the history of video games that has been able to match it in terms of the breadth and the quality of fighters on there, shooters, you know, side-scrolling shooters, and vertical shooters, and also sports games. Talking about sports games, like you mentioned, Neo Turf Masters, and off air we're talking about Baseball Stars too, which is just a crazy over the top baseball game. It's probably, people will not allow me to say the best baseball game of all time, but easily the best arcade baseball game of all time, no doubt.
I mean, I personally think it's one of the finest baseball games ever made. I mean, it probably is not the best, but it still holds up to the test of time. People will still enjoy it today. I mean, you may not enjoy like RBI Baseball 2 today, but as a kid, you probably enjoyed it a whole lot. But Baseball Stars 2, it's still, you know, it's highly sought after and people buy it to enjoy it.
Yeah. And it's another cool aspect of the Neo Geo is that it was in that time period graphically where it holds up incredibly well. NES games, sometimes, Genesis games hold up really well. Super Nintendo and Neo Geo and to, another extent, the PC Engine. Those games just hold up really, really well graphically, and Baseball Stars too. Like I could see myself 30 years from now, it's graphically competent to be played, you know, for years, and the gameplay is fantastic. It's, like I said, over the top, and you can do substitutions. The animation is hilarious when you see the characters in this game, from the umpire to the you know, fielders, batters, and pitchers. It's just such a joy to play that game.
Oh, yes. I mean, even the voice acting is funny. If you listen carefully, you'll hear how they kind of splice different samples together, and there's always like distinct cut sounds. So if you pay attention to that, it's really hilarious. You know, like when he says, you know, the second inning, you can clearly tell he just said first, second, third, you know, in a different recording, and then it said inning separately.
Budgets, video game budgets back then. But it's, you know, another thing I want to talk to you about is we kind of have those top tier games, and we could almost talk about this forever. Like what are our favorite games on the Neo Geo? We're going to list 50 games, but some of the lesser known games, or maybe the games that probably don't get as much praise as they should. Are there any games that come to your mind when you think of that?
Well, Ninja Masters is one of them. I mean, when people think of, you know, I want to fight a good fighting game, Ninja Masters never appears on the top of anyone's list. It's like, I didn't even know Ninja Masters was a fighting game for the longest time. And then I bought it because, you know, I saw it was, you know, relatively cheap. So, you know, I'll just give it a try, see what it's like. And then when I popped in, it was like, this is pretty damn good. You know, this is a Street Fighter clone with ninjas. You know, it gave me something to enjoy, you know, fighting wise on the Neo Geo. That's one of them.
Well, then people might get confused with, along with Ninja Masters, is it Ninja Warriors that's on Neo Geo?
Well, there's Ninja Combat, which Ninja is Combat. It's kind of like a beat 'em up. You know, you throw ninja stars at people. And then there's Ninja Commando, which is a top down, like Ikari Warriors type game.
That's right.
So it never occurred to me that Ninja Masters, you know, also made by the same people, would be a fighting game.
It gets a little confusing, yeah. But that's why you got to make sure you know, do a little bit of research before you bid on that eBay auction or, you know, agree to buy that game. Any other games that come to mind in terms of that category?
Not really sure. I mean, I haven't played a whole lot recently, but a lot of people seem to make fun of Legend of Success Joe because of how bad it is. I mean, I've played, it's pretty bad. I mean, it's based off a popular boxing anime.
Mm-hmm.
But people seem to bring it up as a running joke. I don't know if it's actually praiseworthy to play, but it's something you should see, you know, firsthand so you can enjoy in the laughter when people bring it up. I mean, there's a lot of games that are just horrifically bad on the Neo Geo. I mean, the Neo Geo is not guilty of having no bad game. There are a lot of bad games on the Neo Geo.
But it's almost, that's 100% correct. And that's why it is good to, before you invest in a game, you know, jump on YouTube or whatever, take a look at least some gameplay of it, because there are some interesting fighters. There's some bad sports game, the non Neo Turf Masters golf game. I think it's just called
Top Players Golf. Yeah, that game is not good.
Garbage. Absolute. It's not even like, I'd rather play NES Open Golf than play that. But for the most part, if you have money, there's going to be plenty of games for you to buy. Which brings me to my next question. For you, there are some games that are really expensive out there. Are there any games in the Neo Geo library in terms of the MVS that, you know, are still on your wish list? They're on your list of, oh, hey, if this pops up for, you know, less than, you know, the limit of my credit card, I'm going to pick it up. Are there any games like that that are kind of your grails?
Well, the only games that I actually have the entire MVS library purchased.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess you would have to, though, right?
Purchased it for different reasons other than just collecting it. I need it for testing when I make new boards.
For work.
They're for work purposes. They're not just so I can show them on the shelf.
Fair enough.
So I bought them for that reason, but I'd still like to pick up the NG Dev titles, though. A lot of those are very high quality for a small man team. You know, that's a very impressive set of games. I haven't picked up any of those, and I'd like to get at least a couple of them.
Okay, so if you own every single Neo Geo MVS cart, how do you display those? Do you go with the, you know, one way to do it is like the shock box route, where you can, for people out there who don't know, you know, there's a guy that makes shock boxes, and they're really nice cases, almost like the, if you want to think of the Disney, like the best way I can describe this is like the Disney VHS cases that open up that are plastic. And he also sells,
clamshell, right?
Yeah, like clamshell design. Perfect. The guy, his website is southtown-homebrew.com is where I bought mine in the past. You can get, you know, custom art done for him, but it's a good way to display it. So how do you display, what's like 160 games?
The library is about 148 of the officially released titles. As of right now, I just keep them in big boxes. You know, like I bought boxes from Uline that hold about 30 cartridges each. So I put 30 in each box. And then what I want to play, I just pick out six at any given time. So, you know, whatever's in a six slot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to think about too hard about what needs to be pulled out and what needs to be put back. So, you know, I pick six games that I really want to play, and that's it for like 1 or 2 months. You know, you stick with that, because if you got too much choice, like right in front of your face, you're never going to pick, and you're not really going to enjoy yourself. You know, when you kind of make it a hassle to go out and get these games, you're going to savor a little bit more, at least in my case, you know.
Oh, makes sense. Makes sense to me. So we did get a couple questions that I want to hit on from the audience and from NeoGAF and Twitter. If you're on NeoGAF, there's a pretty healthy Neo Geo thread on there. But the first question from 16-bit, and this is always an interesting question. Do you have any shady stories from the Neo Geo scene? He says, I vaguely remember a $30,000 fake Aerofighters 3 that made headlines a while back. So again, this is kind of a close-knit community. You will know a lot of the players in the Neo Geo scene, and there have been some interesting stories with some fakes on eBay and people trying to put, you know, sell off. I guess it was, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were trying to sell conversions of an MVS card as an AES game, of a very rare game, and trying to sell that on eBay. But do you have any crazy stories that you want to share from the Neo Geo scene?
Well, I don't have anything that'll ever top the $30,000 Aerofighters 3 card. That's pretty outrageous. I mean, that story beyond up with the U.S. Aerofighters 3 goes much further than that, and how deeply involved that saga is.
Can you refresh that for people that, I mean, I barely just vaguely remember seeing this on NeoGeo.com, but can you give a little backstory into that whole thing?
Well, it started, you have to know, to know that story, you have to know who one of the members was, and that his name was Tonk. And he was basically the community enforcer. Like, if any bad deal ever went down on the Neo Geo forums, he would use his detective skills and whatever internet muscle he had to force the scammer into giving back the money or shipping out the items. And his success rate was actually quite high. So, you know, knowing that, you know, people trusted him quite a bit. You know, mm-hmm. He was the man. If you needed to trust no one but one person, he was it. So, you know, one day this guy named David G just comes out of, you know, thin air. You know, he presents himself as a technician. You know, he knows how to fix the flaws in the older generation MVS converters, because not all of them worked perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people seem to gain his trust. And then I guess he got in contact privately with Tonk and said, you know, I got these Aerofighters 3, and I don't know what the private discussion entails, but somehow they were able to sell off U.S. copies of Aerofighters 3 to high-end collectors.
Wow.
And they were successful at it. And eventually one of them called him out on it being fake, you know, and did this whole giant write-up, and then Tonk effectively disappeared from the internet, you know. Almost, you know, admitting guilt.
Yeah, that's, I mean, how do you come back from something like that? Because once some story like this comes out, and you, in today's world of the internet and internet detectives, you can pretty much find out, even when people change their usernames or they use that username somewhere else, and you can find where they're using their name elsewhere, that you can't really get away with this stuff after you've had such an egregious offense. But yeah, that's pretty nuts. That's conning people out of quite a bit of money.
There's a whole lot more to that than just pawning people out of money when someone finally figured out who David G actually was, because David G actually claimed when he was revealed as the source of the Aerofighters 3,
mm-hmm.
he claimed he was an employee of SNK at the time.
Oh no.
And there was another member also on the forums that actually did work for SNK and ROMSTAR at the time. His name was Nightmare Tony on the forums. And he says, like, I don't remember you ever being an employee there. And, you know, that's kind of how it went down. And they basically struck him down as a scammer. And then eventually they found out his real identity to be Jason Young, a relative of Ray Young, who was the creator of the Phantom One. the original MVS converter, and he had some bad dealings, so he had to disappear from the forums. So it's kind of funny that his legacy kind of made it back a decade later in terms of this Aerofighters 3 drama.
Unbelievable. Like, this is it, you know, again, I guess it's even crazier if you were, you know, on the forum when this was all going down. But even today, like, again, it's still pretty nuts just to
yeah,
to
you
hear
just
how far
can't
they
make
go.
This stuff up sometimes. It's like, it's so ridiculous, but it's, I mean, it's all true.
So besides that story, is there anything else that pops into your mind? Because, again, you talk about the Neo Geo scene. It is a very dedicated group of people, you know, that want to, you know, either have every one of the games, like, make a complete library, or they are willing, if they're already spending this much money on Neo Geo stuff, they probably have enough money to spend on something like, you know, perhaps an Aerofighters 3 that just pops out of thin air. Is there anything else that comes to mind?
Well, I mean, in general, the Neo Geo community is pretty cynical in terms of the new developments because, mm-hmm. you know, like, they've been ripped off, you know, since the beginning of time. It's not, yeah. It's an ongoing story. So when something comes up, they always ask a lot of questions. And then this is a more recent turn of events, but I find it pretty funny, was one of the members, one of the more new members decided to sell a consoleized Game Boy Advance on the selling forums. He goes by the name of Cross. And this thing was an ugly travesty. But, you know, and then eventually with some detective work, people like found out that he was selling it more than he was a couple months ago than on Nintendo Age, like $50 more. So he was charging the Neo Geo forums a little higher, but that bothered a few people, but that wasn't really, you know, why it exploded. He mentioned that he had worked on a Neo Geo Pocket Color TV. So basically a consoleized Neo Geo Pocket Color.
Mm-hmm.
And people are interested because there's a couple of Neo Geo Pocket games that people really like to play. One is Match of the Millennium. That's an SVC Chaos game that's actually good. Mm-hmm. You know, the MVS version is garbage. It's beautiful. But it's horribly broken. So, you know, a lot of people were, you know, asking him just like, you know, simple questions on, you know, how did you do this? You know, because they wanted to know because, you know, it's something they could get behind.
Mm-hmm.
And he claimed it was, he had the details in a GoDaddy email account that was really hard to search. And then eventually he produced some pictures like, hey, look, for all you haters. And he posted a picture of, Match of the Millennium working on an HDTV showing the little unit that he made. And it was horribly cut. And he said it was like, it was CNC made. Like, no one with a CNC machine cuts with tin snips, cutting metal, you know, and it looked terrible. And then I pointed out in the picture that the on switch wasn't on the unit when he showed it. And then I think a few posts later, someone with even better eagle eyes pointed out there was a mouse cursor in the picture.
Jeez.
So he was just showing us emulator pictures saying that this was the consoleized Neo Geo Pocket Color. And that just exploded into a hilarity of beyond ages at the end of the year.
Yeah, if you're going to do something like that, those are simple, simple things to make sure that you get right before you post pictures of it on the internet. Man.
And the funny thing about that whole thing is that he made a little stink about it, saying why would he waste so much time just to make himself look cool on the internet? And that's basically what he did.
People are weird. People on the internet can be weird, you know? But on a much happier note, someone else wanted to ask about, ask if he planned to make any Omega sticks or pads in the AES or CD style. Since his Omega is stylized after the AES, it would be great to see Omega controllers too. And yeah, no, I got to kind of second that because I just got my very first hands on one of the AES controllers today and the arcade sticks. And after 20 years, even this one's in pretty good condition, a little squeaky, you know, buttons a little squeaky, a little loud, but... What are your thoughts? Is that a project that you're thinking about tackling?
Well, that's something I'm working on right now, actually. Like, I've been working on a stick for quite some time. I just got caught up in a few other projects that needed more of my attention. But you know, I'm putting more effort into that right now. But originally, I wanted to do an AES style like stick, you know, make it kind of look like the old style stick. But to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of the ergonomics of the button layout. It's a little awkward for me. You know, kind of gives me carpal tunnel if I play too long.
Yeah, and
I actually like the Kindy Bean a lot more, even though there's not much love for that joystick. But I'm a big fan of that, and those are the personal sticks I use on my system.
So maybe I should check those out instead.
Yeah, they're not.
Oh, sorry.
The base isn't as large as the old style stick, but if you can deal with just the smaller frame of the joystick, I think it's more comfortable if you don't have giant hands.
Good call. I might have to check those out. I do have, unfortunately, because I'm very impulsive, I also have two AES sticks coming from Japan on an airplane right now. But maybe down the road, once I calm down from all these MVS purchases, again, I will check those out. Or hopefully I'm going to be back in Japan in like 4 weeks from today, Monday. So I'll try to pick up some while I'm out there. So before we wrap up again, you know, I want to let the audience know about the Omega, just because, like I said, I was really on the fence for a long time about this. I've seen it for the last couple of months online, and I'll look at it and I'll be like, man, $499. All right, $499. Can I make that purchase right now? And, you know, again, like I mentioned earlier in the show, I did. I purchased it, got it home. And all day I had a buddy over, and even though we had one controller, we were just playing it nonstop, you know, taking turns on Samurai Shodown 4, playing Magical Drop 2, and just having a complete blast with it, and just how good it looks hooked up through the FrameMeister. But also, like we mentioned before, if you have an HD TV, you can go through component outputs as well and get a great looking picture. It is just you know, again, I apologize for making this sound like salesy, but I was so impressed with it. Like, I really wanted to get the word out on this thing, because it is a really great system and people should have access to it. And that Neo Geo X just didn't really do it. It just wasn't, it just seemed to have too many issues. The library was a little limited, and it doesn't seem like they're going to be selling it for that much longer. But, you know, before, like I said, before we wrap up, you can check out arcadeworks.net. Quan, anything that I'm kind of missing, or anything worth mentioning, things that you have coming up that people could keep an eye out for, or any really last words?
Well, with the Omega stick, I plan to just make like a giant base, you know, like stick, you know, like the current generation of fighting sticks, they're gargantuan.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what people like, because it gives you a lot of room for your palms to play on. So I was planning to do something in that style, you know, and have, you know, kind of like swappable control panels, like, you know, the whole metal plate pops off like you would in a candy cab.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like a certain button layout, you can change it. So you're not limited to just what I have or what I give you at first. So if you like the, you know, the four buttons across, as opposed to the eight buttons, I'm going to just sell standard, because I'm making this a USB joystick and then creating a separate Neo Geo dongle. Because I'm trying to move away from proprietary cables, you know, like with my choice with the power cord for the Omega, you know, I didn't want just, you know, the regular, you know, wall adapter. So each country I'd have to hunt down a different kind of adapter. I just used, you know, the universal PC power, and then hunting down the respective cable in each country is not as difficult. So I'm trying to make it so finding replacement cords is not difficult for people that lose them or break them.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah. And like you mentioned, the cords themselves, like the extension cords for the AES, they're not cheap. That's something you're going to be dropping some money on if you don't want, I guess it's a 3 or 4 foot cord on the AES stick. I'm not sure, but yeah, anyways, thank you so much for taking your time and to come on and talk about this stuff, because anytime we can talk more about the Neo Geo, it's always good. And B, for people out there that A, like their significant other won't let them have an arcade machine in their living room, or, you know, don't want to deal with the issues of arcade ownership. The consolized MVS route is just really the best way to go. And with the Omega, you just have created such an easy way to get set up. Like, you're out of the box in 2 seconds, you're playing games, and you have obviously the Universe BIOS on there too, so you can do lots of cool things to the games in terms of cheats and setting the regions and making sure, for the love of God, you enable blood in every game, because games without blood are just, I mean, they're just not as, I don't know, that sounds horrible that I say that, that they're not as good, but it's not how they were originally intended, I guess. But
showing sweat has its own charm in its own way. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but yeah, blood is it's one of those nice features you have when you have access to the Unibios, you know, adding things that were only available in the Japanese release because of U.S. censorship.
I know, man, isn't that crazy? But hopefully people head over to arcadeworks.net, check it out. And again, Quan, thank you so much for taking your time. We'll definitely have to have you back on down the road, you know, maybe when the sticks come out, or definitely just to, you know, talk about some more Neo Geo stuff.
No problem. It was my pleasure.